Okay, Rabbi Issa, tonight I want to do Simon Tov Reshutes, Bezer Hashem. Okay? Which is the halachas of the of Yom Kippurim. It brings back some memories. How many weeks ago, Yom Kippur?
Three weeks.
So these are the halachas of Leil Yom Kippurim. Leil Yom Kippurim, Nagin, Shoemesh, Leachzibu, Beishiva, Shel Malo, which, I mean, Tov Reshutes. Skip Aleph. By the way, I had a thought. It's not very. I just want to ask what your opinion is. We're going to be completing Yom Chazim HaKippurim shortly. As you can see, page 168 is the end of Yom Chazim HaKippurim. Then there is El Chesukah.
Thank God Katanga's not here.
Yeah. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, you test. Leil Yom HaKippurim, the light or the night of Yom HaKippurim. No, again, Shoyim Shliach Tzibu B'Yeshiva Shlemalo, V'Yeshiva Shlemato, Al Das Hamokoyim, V'Adas Hakol, Ono Matir, Nispalim Avayonim. This is a kind of allowance for the Avayonim, for people who don't, the transgressors. We allow them to daven on Yom Kippur with us. Generally speaking, there are times people are disinvited from shul. People who are doing public desecrations, chilal Hashem, people who do public averus, sometimes they're not really part of the minyan, they're not really invited. People are in chayram. People who are publicly displaying a great chilal Hashem, they're not invited. He was saying, whoever you are, whatever you are, just come and daven. Because like a Kadosh Baruch Hu, is Meuchel everybody, we want the Kodesh Baruch Hu to bring us all back close to Him. So to us, we are non-judgmental, and everybody's invited. The Mishtabur points out, this is not, the Dominican nowadays is not the Shliach Tzibu per se who says it, but it is the Godol Shebechol Ir. It is the greatest individual, the greatest Torah personality who makes this proclamation.
So if somebody is in the Harem, right, does that mean he can still come on Yom Kippur?
So the Mishnah Berurah asks you a question. The Mishnah Berurah asks you a correct question. And it says somebody's actually in a Harem nowadays. So the answer is no, he won't be able to come, because somebody who is put in Harem today is with this in mind, and so anybody who is publicly doing averus will be invited. But somebody is in cherem, he will be put in cherem by the rabbonim, excluding him specifically also of koyom kippur tefillas. So the answer is somebody is formerly in cherem, which is very rare, by the way, wouldn't be allowed to come on Yom Kippur.
So
okay.
That applies to Rosh Hashanah then, and everything then that apply.
I suppose so. Yes. I suppose so. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so it says Kol Nidre. And then after, yeah, we're now again, Shoyim Kol Nidre, and the minigays, we say Kol Nidre. After we say Shechionu. Many Foshim explain what is it that with the Kol Nidre night, it sounds so anticlimax. Kind of, why do we start Kol Nidre the most highly good day of the year? We speak about the Nadorim, sounds like such a detailed and unimportant, nearly like a bit like an anticlimax. That's what we talk about. You know, there's so many more important things we should be talking about. In Kippur, we speak about the Nadorim. We're trying to cancel the Nadorim. So the Mefarshim are busy trying to explain what the background of that is.
You've got to clear the decks, right?
Pardon?
You've got to clear the decks.
Yeah. But there's lots of other debts as well. And why do we speak about it? How does that work exactly? What's the mechanic? How does it work? So it maybe has to do with something. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, we don't want people to be taken literally and everything. Trying to, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu also should have a more lenient approach to us as we enter Kol Nidre. Okay.
Also, when you got a mountain to climb. It's quite an arduous thing.
You've got all those al-chaits.
When you've got a mountain to go off and you're at the bottom, you
generally
start with the hardest stuff at the beginning.
You want to start with something basic.
It's a bit like warm up.
Yeah, warm up. Yeah, very good. Okay, yeah, it's probably good. Yeah, good.
Muscles,
yeah. Very good. So then we say, because then we say shechionu without a kois. Which means we say just shechionu without wine or grape juice. Question is, why bloy kois? You can't drink. Oh, so the question is, which is a widely discussed topic, really. Because why don't we give it to a child who is not fasting anyway? Like, what's the big deal? With plenty of times, I was reminded, I was now Sukkot, and it was so nice to see again. I haven't seen it in such a long time. To see the Kiddush in Shul, such a beautiful minik. Kiddush on Friday night, all the little children queuing up for the so beautiful minik. I don't know why it's...
Imagine we did it here. They don't queue up really.
They don't queue up really Casado, wouldn't they? If we did it here, imagine. I see. Maybe that's it.
It's so beautiful.
Very good.
But not Hegi Alachinuchav.
Very good. So that discussion leads to a similar topic to that. So the question: why do we give it? Make a Kiddush, and make then the Shechionu. Give then Berpe Agav, and give it to a child who's not fasting anyway. The answer is why. Very good. And here it is. So although, in principle, they don't have a chinuch of fasting at that point.
You can't make a kiddush out of it.
Good. So that's really what the Rishonim say. So Mishmur says, in the name of the, he says, in Sivkot Dalet, he says that, you know, what is going to be his memory of Yom Kippur then? What's going to be the child's memory of Yom Kippur? You know, what's going to be the child's memory, you know? You know, that's how memory works. Your memory is very interesting at what kind of connections we make. And the child's memory of Yom Kippur is always going to be that nice, delicious grape juice that he was handed up in shul by the rabbi. So that's probably not the right connection in memory of in a child's connection to Yom Kippur. Therefore, we don't do that. Pretty much the meaning of what the Mishnah said, Osel Misach, in the future is also going to, perhaps he's going to remember in future, you know, I remember when I was a child, we made Kiddush. You know, can you just picture yourself people making mistakes? I remember we made Kiddush and Shul, Yom Kippur, you know. Kiddush, you're not to drink. I know Yom Kippur is, you don't eat and drink, but Kiddush, you're not to have Kiddush. You make Kiddush. And people may easily make a mistake. So therefore, we don't make Kiddush and Shul at all. Okay. V'achkach continues the Rambam. V'achkach mispal avis after this we have Mariv and Shul. For now, you know, my Kol Nidre, be'oido Yom Kol Nidre is to be recited still by day. Umamshech benigunim ad alaylo, and we sing various nigunim until the night. We say Kol Nidre three times. And every time the chazan raises his voice slightly louder than the previous time. The apostle Venishlach is also recited three times. A person is not allowed to change the minogim of the city, even when it comes to tunes. With regards to the putim, very famous, widely quoted Maharil, which is my father-in-law's favorite Maharil. There's a story that is reported in the Maharil, that there was a chazan who came one year in a particular shul. This is going back 400 or 500 years ago. Chazan said, the nigunim that you sing is very nice, but I'm going to tweak it a bit, I'm going to change it. And he did slightly different nigunim, particularly to show off his voice and his chazonus and his skills. People didn't enjoy it and appreciate his nigunim because they were different to what you used to. It's as simple as that. What happened? He died within the year. It's very scary. So what does that teach us?
Don't mess around with
minogim. That's it. So that's what it is. Don't mess around with minogim. Every minig is very, very precious. And even a minig that is not particularly popular within the community, even a minig which is not particularly appreciated, don't mess. And that's why a lot of the minogim are, we just stick to them without even, you know, it's, that's what the, even the nigunim, even the change of the tunes, even change of tunes is not to be done. Continues
where does it say you do it three times? Where do we learn it from that you do it three times?
The reason why we do it three times is to make it absolutely solid and concrete. Things that are said three times is like there's a chazoka. becomes very strong and undisputed. By night of Yom Kippur, on the subsequent day, on Yom Kippur, we say Baruch Shem loud, which by the way, Moshe Rabbeinu learned from the Melachim. Something Moshe Rabbeinu learned when he went up, he heard the Melachim. By Hasina, he heard the Melachim saying Baruch Shem. He said, oh, wow, that's a good idea. Let's do the same over here. On a general day, we don't do it loud. It's a bit too holy. But on a Yom Kippur, we've got that level of Melachim, and hence, we say Baruch Shem loud. If Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos, not now, but the year before, everybody, what was it last year, right? Yom Kippur on Shabbos. Oyim vayichulu v'roch achz mein shev v'choysim mekadosh Shabbos ve'enu maskir shel Yom Kippurim. We say vayichulu, and we say the relevant tefillahs of Shabbos. Ve'en oyim avinu malkeinu b'Shabbos. We don't say avinu malkeinu on Yom Kippur. If it's on Shabbos, I will share slichas v'techinus emem b'kamei b'chol, but the regular, all the other tefillahs are said like on weekday. Tzoich la'amid eichol yemin shliach tzibu v'eichol ismoiloi. By Kol Nidrei, we have one person standing on his right, one person standing on his left of the chazan. There's three people standing by Kol Nidrei, that's right. Yeah, it says until Bochu, three people should stand there. The chazan, one to his right, one to his left. Until Bochu, is that what we do nowadays?
Yeah,
Edom. Yeah, I think it's more. Yeah, Edom, is it because of Edom? Right. Yeah, so the Mishnah says, not necessarily Edus, but he says, Kedech Shmatzin etzel Moshe Rabbeinu, like found by Moshe Rabbeinu, Sh'aron v'chur, Tom Chubiyadov, you had Aaron on one side supporting him, and Chur standing on his head supporting his arm. And therefore, there was three people there, and he was very supportive and helpful, and he made all the difference. So here too, now see if an unknown halacha yeshoimdim al raglem kalayim v'chalalaylo. There are people who have sufficient strength to stand the entire Yom Kippur, both by night and by day, to stand the entire Yom Kippur. No. So what he's referring to is, good point, Mishnah Berurah clarifies this, is that only during davening times. So obviously, when they go home and they, by Maariv, they finish davening, they'll go to sleep and they'll lie down. But when, from the time they wake up and they go to shul and they daven, they will stand until nacht. My childhood memories of Yom Kippur, where I davened, it was that all the men, they literally stood. It was very uncommon for a man to sit on Yom Kippur. It was even a very old man. Yeah, they stood from beginning to end, and there was no break. That's my childhood memories. The men stood, old men in their 80s, they would not sit. From davening started at 7:30 or something like that, not like 9 o'clock. Like, this davening started at 7 or 7:30, and the men, and it was uninterrupted. He went from Shachris to Mosif to Menchatu. It was Balabatim. There was no Kol Yungilat and all that. It was Balabatim. They were there, and they would daven standing uninterrupted until, throughout all the Piyutim until Nacht. And we're not going back 200 years ago. It was me as a child.
Yeah, but they were made of steel.
Pardon?
They were made of steel,
yeah. It's yakis, yeah. No break. No sling. No break. No.
7:30 till Nacht.
Yeah, till Nacht. And this, I don't know, not necessarily. They were yakis.
It's very good for you. It's very good for you.
Yeah. But it's on fasting like that. It was. But that's what it says. And why did they stand? Like Melachim, indeed. What about women? So women said women don't have to stand. But it was a very common minhag, which is one of those things that was very often one of these neglected minhagim. See, Vav, Noagim, Lolam of Esaknesses, many people have a minhag to sleep in shul. Now, this is uncommon this part of the world, but it is.
In
yeshivas is quite common. And, by the chassidim, not all that far, you go to Stamford Hill, and you'll see on Yom Kippur, a lot of men will sleep in shul on Yom Kippur.
During the break? What, they have a break?
No, we're talking about the night. I'm talking about the night. Yeah, they sleep there, yeah. They sing, We said now, if you want to sleep in shul, let me just finish the Ramah. Tov lishon rochem min ha'on. If you sleep in shul, you should distance yourself from the on hakodesh, not to sleep too close to the on hakodesh. But there is men who still do that. No, they do not sing all night. They'll sing a part of the night. The shiras and tishbochas bit, which the Shulchan Aruch refers to, that's the anim zemiros and the shishulim, which many people do as well, without remaining in shul the rest of the night. So there's two aspects. One is the shiras and tishbochas, and afterwards a lot of people remain in shul and actually sleep in shul. Here the Ramah says, if you want to sleep in shul, by all means, just go away from the Aron HaKodesh.
Rabbi,
yeah.
Isn't that disrespectful?
No, so it's not considered disrespectful. If it's a Beis HaMedrash and not Beis HaKnesses, you know, you're not to eat in a Beis HaMedrash. So you're right. If you're talking about the proper shuls, the big, large, respectful shuls, it may be disrespectful. But a Beis HaMedrash that you feel comfortable eating and you feel comfortable hanging around and having a talk and a schmooze, it would be fine to sleep there as well. Yeah. The Mishnah Berurah points out that some poskim say it's not such a good idea to sleep in shul; better to sleep at home. Additionally, he brings from the Shlach Kodesh, one should say Abam is Morim, which should say the four first kapitel of Tehillim, which is by the way printed in most Machsorim. They say the first four pokim of Tehillim. That's what one should say before going to sleep. It's a big skula on, especially in Kippur night. And then Misha Einu Roy Tzeloima Tishpochas Vishiras Balai Lo Yishan Sham V'Chazonim Mispalim Kol Hayom. It says certainly the Chazonim Mispalim Kol Hayom, the Chazonim, the ones who daven for the Amud the entire day, Lo Yoyru Kol Hayom, they should not sleep the entire night, Ki Me'abdim Kol, because they lose their voice, She'enim Yishenim, if they don't sleep. So here it is, if you are a Chazon, don't be tempted to sleep in shul, rather. Don't be tempted to stay awake the whole night davening. No. You should rather go to bed, have a proper sleep, go home and sleep properly. Perhaps that's the excuse for nowadays. We all think we're chazonim, you know. So maybe that's the excuse that we want to sleep and not lose our voices. The Mishnah Berurah adds, also it is a very great, very beautiful minhag to learn which is an ancient minhag from the Achronim, that one should learn the Mishnah Es Yuma. It's hard to learn the entire Masechta, it's quite long, but at least some pokim one should learn. It's published in the Machzorim. You look by in the Machzor after Maariv, you'll see the Maseches Yuma.
You can actually do some of them as he's going through Chazal's and Shas. So you can probably
go
to the relevant bits.
Based on the Mishnahs, because it's based on that, sure.
You can crack through very
But, and here comes what the Mishnah Berurah finishes off with. When the Talmid Chochem lasik b'toyr v'lehashmit b'loy matfilis v'slichzim al tzibur, the Talmid Chochem should not skip the piyutim. So that's not what you're referring to directly, but if there is piyutim, who are saying, Talmid Chochem should not skip the piyutim and say, okay, I'm going to learn instead. No. The piyutim are here to be said. The piyutim are here to be davened. And a person should not skip them and instead of that, learn. Even Talmid Chochem, he says, in the Talmid Chochem, lasik b'toira, a person should not learn, v'lehashmin and skip, malo matfilis v'slichzim atzibo. This should be said. I want to point something out, just talking about the Mishnah, so I'm going to finish off with that. It's very interesting, I don't have a full interpretation in that. When I was in Hungary a number of years ago, one of the things that I was in shul there, I was in a very old shul, my great-grandfather was over in a shul in Mishkol tonight, and I was there, and I found there, in Tashemus, I found a very large machzor. I'm not exaggerating. The instead of, you know, it's like, it's oh, that thick. Is that
Mishai's got a similar one?
Could be, I don't know. Yeah. It's literally that big, much larger than A3.
That's awesome.
A bit bigger than that, probably. Yeah, and it's certainly thicker than that. And it's from it goes back to the 1860s, 1860s, 1870s. And there's a lot of hand and things there, which is very interesting. But it was a chazan machzor. The machzor had it. You see wax on the side, because it was before it was electricity. The wax on the machzor page is fascinating. But what I find very impressive, and I don't have a full interpretation in that, he said when you go through the Mishnahs, I've paged through it numerous times, and what I found out this year is that I saw when you go through the Mishnahs Yuma, which is after Maariv, I've noticed that some of the words there are written, and obviously when it's printed, all prints talks about without nekudas, without vowels. And there, with a, in that particular machsa, there is with the vowels are added in some difficult words with a pencil added. Which, what does that teach us? If they're adding in a machsa the vowels, the mishnais, what does that tell us? What? First of all, they learn without vowels. True, but more than that, as far as Yom Kippur is concerned, the new TikTok. All right, okay, that's all true. I agree with you, but I can see something else there.
They're beginning to forget.
Okay, okay, but I thought of something else. Why would you want to vowelize the machsa? They must have been saying. They must. I don't have any other pshat. They must have been saying it. They must have been saying it by night, either together, probably if it's the machsa, the shul machsa, they probably said it together, or at least the chazan must have said it. Chazan's machsa, you know, wouldn't be going freely around. So either the chazan must have said it, or more likely, the chazan must have said it for other people around him. Either way, we've got evidence that it was said on Yom Kippur night, people were saying, Mishnayis Yomer, probably in public, in shuls. Okay, that's it for this evening, Abba Isai. Okay, just to summarize, we learned about Yom Kippur, starting with Shiva Shel Malok, followed by Kol Nidre, saying three times, Shechionu without wine. We spoke about why we don't give it to a child. Arvis, it's important to remember that one should never change the minhagim, whether it's the nigunim or the piyutim, one should stick to the minhagim of a place. It's really important. We'd say, Boruch Shem Kvar Ochsoy Le'Laot. We also learned that there's by the chazan two people, one it's right, one it's left, like Moshe Rabbeinu had Chur and Aaron. We stand, some people stand Yom Kippur both by day and by night during Tfilas. Shears with Tishpochas, sleeping in shul, and if you sleep in shul, not close to the Aaron. And the chazanim who daven loud, they should look after their voices. Okay, Rabbi Isai, I wish you a very good evening.